Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvetti and darling Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everybody. How are you tonight?
Wonderful. Well, you're good and loud and clear. I'm probably coming in kind of crappy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. It's a little bit edgy. That's okay. A reflection of the universe, right?
Well, no, I think that's a reflection of me. Okay, tonight's topic, healing and dealing with the familial bonds and bondage.
Now I'm edgy.
Yeah, really. Well, we're all, especially the team's, excited to begin this topic. And this is, you know, this one just goes on and on and on and on. Mothers, daughters, fathers, sons, et cetera, et cetera.
Lineage.
Yes, very definitely.
What is it you always call it? The familial chain of pain.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite.
Been there, done that.
Been there, doing it. Okay, tonight's show dedication to the spreading of safety and love over the planet through our thoughts and prayers. Never before, really, has the planet been more in need of a sense of safety. Fear is running rampant and will continue until we take an active part and role in changing it. It is us. We are the ones that came to make these changes through our mastery and our love and our intention. So I really do ask everyone to try to take time every day to flood the love, flood the planet with love and light. Fear right now is the enemy. It is the fastest way to hold us back from an elegant ascension process. And it's being, you know, foisted upon us through the media, everywhere we turn. I don't know about you, Veronica, but boy, I'm just hearing it at every turn from people and, you know.
I was really shocked at the news the other night. It was so, I mean, I shouldn't be, but I try to avoid the news. And then it was just not just a downer, but so universally a downer. It felt like there was no hope. I just slammed my, I just turned it off.
Well, smartest thing to do. Good choice.
Yeah.
excellent choice. And, you know, I find these waves even coming over myself, and I certainly see it with other people. And what's fascinating, and I really want to share this, the people that I know that are working with this from a positive, really positive, are soaring. They're getting the most incredible jobs, the off-the-map jobs that you can't even imagine, okay,
mm-hmm.
are coming to people who are not going into fear. Opportunities that are absolutely amazing. And people are creating for themselves these extraordinary, you know, you hear all this negativity out there, how terrible things are, and there's no jobs, there's no this, there's no that. Then you talk to people who, you know, my one friend has been out of work for almost a year, and she went on a job interview, and I sent my darling Fotar, who loves to go do interviews, he's such a devil. Fotar can come in and just absolutely shift the energy in any interview ever, and I have a list of people that he's assisted in this way.
Wow.
That and court cases, and he just loves that stuff. And he just does phenomenal things. So, and as she said, when Fotar showed up, she turned around and was interviewing him. She was interviewing the man that was supposed to be interviewing her. And phenomenal position. My son, same way, soaring, absolutely soaring in a real estate market. And he's in real estate. So, you know, I'm seeing these juxtapositions, and I have a lot of others, by the way, but I'm seeing these juxtapositions, and one in particular, I had sent Fotar in for this interview. She has this extraordinary job, knew nothing, absolutely nothing about the industry. She was hired. It was wonderful. And she was having problems getting sales in the field that she was in, which was medical equipment. And the minute the team talked to her about, you know, creating from her heart, her sales just soared. So, you know, I'm seeing both sides happening right now.
Hmm.
And it's a fascinating juxtaposition. So I know that we can change everything, you know, by staying in our mastery.
Well, and the thing that a lot of us in metaphysics have known for a long time, that around this juncture in time, a lot of the systems would break down and become morph into different systems, which tells me, even just logically and pragmatically, even if I didn't see light blooming all over the place, that new things have to be coming up for us to get. It has to happen.
It absolutely does. So as this is breaking down over here, the new is coming up over here. So really what I'm saying to everyone is, no matter how bleak it may look, if you're paying attention to it, remember, you don't have to experience it. Gosh knows we're hearing this from enough people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the truth. And if I weren't seeing it in such extreme ways, it would be different. But I'm just I get so excited when I see it happen. And my girlfriend, who went for the interview yesterday with Photar assisting, and her first thing to do for the company is to build a helicopter pad and a soccer field. Now, I mean, come on.
Is she a realtor?
She's a realtor, but this is for a university, and she will be handling all of the university's properties. There are a number of universities tied in together. So it's just fascinating to me, and she's really a star. But you know who she is, Veronica, by the way.
I think I do. I think I've figured it out.
Yes. So a very different role for her to be in. And working for a university, and I had to coach her about how to dress, and because she's wild like I am, so
you don't want to lose it for the wrong reasons. Right?
Absolutely not. No, we had her in cream and pearls,
oh.
And up to her neck.
isn't that great? Huh?
I want to talk about Mercury retrograde, because this has been a bugger.
It really has.
And for all of you out there, believe me, you have not lost your mind. Your body will recoup, okay? No matter what you're dealing with right now, it will get better. We have, I think, one more day before this is over.
But your subconscious will never be the same.
No, you're correct, Veronica. Very good point. Well, in my case, not only my subconscious, but also my hiney. Because I have had the ultimate challenge. I have now become, truly, I should contact Pepto-Bismol, you know, for, you know, the commercial on television for all of the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
This has been the ultimate challenge. I thought about cleansing, but I've never thought about, you know, I think that.
Scowling.
Oh, yeah, my eyelashes are clean. And so I've had. So my emergency table is piled high with people having emergencies, thinking that they can't think, you know, they can't. Plus, I mean, everyone is having very bizarre experiences. And so I just want to say to all of you, you will live, I promise. because we had the Mercury retrograde and the eclipse, and they were not easy. And huge issues of the psyche. I mean, whatever in your face, whatever it is, you're not, you know, I won't say you, I'll say we have issues. Please, I don't want to be pontificating here.
Pretty amazing stuff. Huh?
Oh, my Lord. It's just been beyond amazing. I have never done so much physical and emotional cleansing, and I have. But, you know, I really, at this juncture, it's just, oh, man. And I was being hit in both the familial and relationship, all the relationship arenas, including familial and partnership. So it's been a humdinger for me. And also lots of lung stuff, healing of lots of grief. And this is grief of many lifetimes, not just this one. And so it's really been challenging because everything is cleansing. It's just not one part of my body. The other thing, too, is I want to talk about the temperature phenomena that we've been having in this country, because what I see, and I don't know about other, oh, I do. A lot of people I've talked to have had a problem with body temperature control. And so not only is the earth, you know, really out of whack in terms of temperature control, but our bodies are also out of whack with temperature control.
Those little microcosms.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I don't think I've ever had more difficulty staying warm in my, and I have this ugly car coat that I bought, you know, for a girlfriend. I used to go stay on a boat up in San Francisco up at the marina in Sausalito. And, you know, the thing is huge. It looks like I've been swallowed. But I look like I could be up in Alaska with Sarah Palin. But I have never been so cold in my life, and so unsettled with the cold. And I don't mean to complain, because many of you listening are living in areas where you're having real weather issues, you know, with ice and snow and all kinds of horrible things. So what I really have felt is that this is totally to get us out of our comfort zone. And it's done a hell of a job.
Well, I also, I'm also terribly cold a lot. And of course, where we're living, it's always damp. But Bob got us a far infrared sauna. So I'm thinking of ordering in my meals now.
I don't blame you. Listen, if I had a sauna, I would be. I think the only time I'm ever warm is in the morning when if I can actually get in I have a real deep tub, and just get in there and just, oh, I'm like, oh my God, this is heaven. and I am not a person that gets cold, which is really funny. So this has just been horrendous. But again, getting us out of our comfort zone. When you're uncomfortable, it's really interesting. And I certainly seen this in the last couple of weeks for me. I have been out of my comfort zone at every turn. I can't really say that there has been a place that I've been comfortable. I really see there are reasons for all of this. And I think dealing with all that's going on, we're having to make very fast choices about which way we're going to believe, what energies we're going to hold, and where we're going to put our focus. So I want to share this wonderful letter. Squirrel wrote this marvelous letter, and the team was talking with her about evidently this subject and asked her to write a letter for the show, which she did. And, you know, when I read the letter, I thought, gee, were they talking to her? I have no clue, you know, what goes on. It's like... It's like having multiple personality disorders. On January 20th, I broke out of my Truman Syndrome, a state of being I hadn't recognized until I escaped from the prison. What prison, one might ask? Well, first, let's define prison. Prison, a noun describing any place of confinement or involuntary restraint, a place where persons are restrained of personal liberty, constraint or reserve in feelings and behavior. Now I know why they, of course, asked her to write this, because it fits in with tonight. My personal Truman Syndrome refers to the 1998 movie The Truman Show with Jim Carrey. In that movie, Truman Burbank, played by Carrey, is the star of a reality TV show, although he had no idea his life is all contrived, made up, controlled, and influenced by the producers and actors pretending to be his friends, neighbors, and even his wife. And so eloquently stated by the producer character of the movie, Christopher de Truman, we accept the reality of the world with which we are presented. Very profound, I thought. Is that what I have done in my life, I wondered. All the other actors are fully aware of the plot. It is only Truman who hasn't a clue about the manipulation of his life. Everything he experiences is what has been scripted to be his life. His free will completely vanished, and he is basically exploited, totally duped. The parallels to what I felt as a puppet citizen of this country were astonishing. How did I allow myself to become so become so controlled and influenced? Apparently, it began by the insidious day-by-day spoon-feeding of fear and guilt from the very birth of my existence. From my parents, peers, school teachers, religious leaders, history books, the media, our country's leaders, and lawmakers. And here is where my personal Truman Syndrome anchored its sinister roots into my soul, ever so innocently and cleverly cloaked. The eyes welled, and then the tears rolled down my cheek. Excuse me, I have dogs. Little as they may be. Hold on one second here. Sorry, everyone. The eyes welled and then the tears rolled down my cheek as I listened with intensity to the inauguration of our 44th president, Barack Obama. What were these tears emoting from my being? Was it joy? Perhaps at some level there was joy. But as I tuned into my core feelings, I recognized that these streaming drops from my eyes touched on a feeling I had not truly identified until this very day in January. My heart began to feel a lifting, a clearing of sorts. Is this what it feels like to be emancipated? I became released from a state of imprisonment in what I believed to be a free country. How long had I been duped and exploited? How long had we all? For me, this emotional release represented that my soul was no longer being kept hostage by an illusion not of my choosing. Just as Truman Burbank began to question events, comments, and behavior that didn't seem to resonate as before, I know many of us had awakened to the level where we too began to query our current reality, that we had the power within us to change all of that, transform it to a reality we embrace, a life of our own choosing and dreaming, that an existence of freedom and love, not imprisonment and fear, could be ours. Truman eventually escaped his programmed life, and on January 20th, 2009, I escaped mine. The tears I shed came to represent to me that I and many other beings were on our way to liberty. The walls of darkness fell and were carted away in a wheelchair.
Oh, boy.
At that moment, I began to remember the very reason I came onto this planet and at this particular timing. Yes, it was all quite lucid as I shared this understanding with numerous beings on Earth. I love this. And throughout the universe, the light became brighter on this memorable day, and joy emerged triumphantly within my heart as a smile graced my face. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. John Lennon. The Liberated Squirrel.
Oh, how precious.
Isn't that a magnificent piece?
That really is.
So, Squirrel, as always, darling, you are brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. We're all waiting for your first book.
Is she going to write a book? It should be good.
Oh, if she doesn't write, the world will miss. Absolutely miss, okay, an incredible, incredible author. I can't imagine her not writing. So tonight we begin the unraveling and unweaving of the familial chain of pain. Perfect timing for Squirrel's letter about imprisonment. And the projections that have also held us hostage in a world of what appears to be of our own making, or is it? So here we go again, all right? It kept coming to me today that this may be the very thing that has been referred to as the manipulation of our DNA for purposes other than our highest and best. Did it really occur? Well, when I look at the prison that we've been in with regard to these projections, I've wondered personally. I don't usually give a lot of credence to all of this stuff, but even I know some of it has got to be true, but it appears to be a real glitch in the system. This has been a real, you know, over the last 2 weeks I've had situations come up that brought home to me very clearly that I had projected personally my mother onto my daughter and my father onto my son. Mm-hmm. And this shook me to the very core. And this actually was so incredibly profound, and I'm grateful to the team and my own guides for bringing this right in my face. Also that I was trying to earn love, and the love that I didn't receive from my parents, from my children. And when I really saw that, I was really stunned. And, you know, for all the time I've talked about the familial chain of pain, it's really interesting to me that this critical piece was never as glaring as it is right now. The projections, you know, of of God and Goddess on to mother and father, and then on to life partners, whatever they may be, husbands, wives, lovers, whatever. But then on to children, and that was the piece that I had missed. And I want to thank my darling Natalia, who a wonderful friend and who's worked with us for years, and who in her morning meditations always sends light to me and visits and astral projects here. And she had seen all this stuff going on with my lungs, which was a lot of grief. And she wrote me and said, there's something with your daughter and your mother. And, of course, that was the impetus that really just unwove it all. She didn't know what it was. I did. And mine went a little bit further in that I realized even with my granddaughter, I related to my granddaughter, and the way that my daughter treated my granddaughter was a mirror for me of the way my mother treated me. So I started thinking, holy mackerel. I mean, I really thought I had all this put together. When these pieces came in, I went, oh, my Lord. This gets even more complex. I don't know why I should be surprised. But interestingly enough, I was. I found this absolutely fascinating that, you know, the piece I got with my daughter first, the piece with my son, I had to, you know, kind of puzzle it in and realize how extraordinary it is that my son, for me, is a piece of cake because, okay.
Because your father was.
Yes, exactly. And my daughter is like my mother, and my mother was not a piece of cake. But I find it interesting that I could never confront my daughter, as no one would ever confront my mother because they're so aggressive. Nobody can ever tell them what to do, and so everybody tiptoes around them rather than upset them and have them explode.
Right.
So, the whole thing, and I realized that this incredible dynamic I had going on, instead of confronting her and letting her scream and yell and do whatever she does, really did not do her any favors because she was so always so tough. And I don't like to fight. You know? I really, as tough as I may act, you know, I'm pretty much a lover. I really like peace. So,
I think I'm a disruptor, come to think of it. I think I'd rather disrupt than have a piece that doesn't go all the way down to the gut.
I would agree with you absolutely. I just simply had a child that I could not, under any circumstances, because it triggered my mother, the violence of my mother. She carries that same energy. And that's
I have to say, I go through the same thing, don't I?
Huh?
I go through the same thing, actually.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a piece that, you know, and I consider this also, as Squirrel said, very imprisoning. Incredibly imprisoning. And we get, and as I watched it go from my mother and father to through me to my son and daughter and then down to my grandchild, and I went, holy mackerel, there it is right in front of me, and yet I lived it and didn't see it. And I remember saying once to my son, I'll never get this with my daughter, I'll just never get it. I will never figure this out with my daughter. And it's because that projection was in there. And as long as that projection was in there, I could not be, okay, the kind of mother I feel that I needed to be, which would have been comfort. You know, as you said, what did you say you were?
Well, I'm a disruptor. Yeah, I disrupt if I can't bear the separation between what's being presented and what's underneath it, I think. I think I'm a disruptor, Jackie.
Okay, that's a good description.
Not because I don't like peace. No, that's the point I was trying to make. It's not because I don't like peace. I can't bear the discordance in what's being presented.
I think that's, it's totally understandable. And I think each one of us, in one of the sessions, I worked with this wonderful man. and this really kind of brought it also home to me, who was trying to save his daughter. And I found it, you know, through the sessions to be fascinating. The dynamics are fascinating with both the mother and the father in this particular child, who's not a child, an adult child. And how it all played out and what was really going on and how the control and manipulation, you know, had gone on and on and on and on. Here's poor mom and dad still trying to fix it. And it's, you know, this is going on our planet and it has been forever. I mean, we've seen it over and over and over again and not been able to step out of it, which is the piece that I find fascinating. And this is the familial chain of pain. This is the piece that we need to, because once we identify it, once we can see what we're doing with these projections, there is a freedom that allows us then to step outside of that dynamic and become the adult to deal with all of these experiences and to make healthier choices on every level for ourselves also, very definitely for ourselves.
And I think when you were talking about Mercury retrograde and you were talking about or reading Squirrel's Amazing Letter, sometimes it comes from such a deep place that we almost can't fathom it, can we? Mercury retrograde is also the deeper reflection of stuff that's hidden as well.
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
So when you combine the two and the feeling of being imprisoned, I go, I think I'm imprisoned because that part of me isn't alive consciously to choice so much of the time.
The part that's caught up in the familial chain of pain?
Yeah.
Exactly.
The programs that run through, as you mentioned.
Right, and we've become reactive. And we're constantly being reactive, and it's at a subconscious level that everything is operating. And so we're not able to, you know, again, it goes back to, it's like having, our DNA, as our DNA is opening now, okay, you know, going back to Squirrel, we're coming out of that prison, that imprisonment of being able to now look at things more objectively and be able to finally find our way out of this enmeshment, which has been just crippling, absolutely crippling, because we continue to do it over and over and over again as I'm looking at the generations in my own family. And I'm going, holy man,
we thought we knew better by now.
Oh, no, that was the fascinating part to me. And I'm still carrying the physical symptoms. The physical symptoms. And of course, we have other lifetimes involved in these things as well. But if we just deal with the basic issues of what we're dealing with in this lifetime alone, if we could clean some of that up, think of the freedom. And I know, you know, Veronica, you know, depending on what you want to jump in there with, certainly I'm not the only one dealing with these issues. And of course, my daughter has always said, well, you know, that her brother is the, what does she call him, the chosen one, you know. And she does the same thing with her son.
That she puts him on the pedestal?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Which is fascinating to me.
Well, I think I was whining recently. You said you want to jump in with my own stuff there, that I was kind of whining recently because my family and family of origin always rejects me.
Yes.
And so does my daughter. And I suddenly went, okay. You have to get in there and really get what you're setting up, you know, with your daughter. I don't know where to go with that, but I'm really conscious right now that I'm kind of standing stunned in the middle of that kind of ping pong game and trying to get to the deeper choice making.
Okay, so what happens in a situation like that? If you keep going in with the daughter to end the rejection, because the family of origin is really unreachable because of all the other dynamics.
Right.
So you'll continue on with the daughter trying to solve the insolvable with the family of origin.
Well, that's really tragic.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, the other funny thing, I mean, you're laughing, I'm going, yeah, it is funny because we work so hard on getting clear about what we're doing. right?
And then absolutely.
Then I sort of smack my forehead and go, "Oy vey, you know, what am I doing now?" You know. So,
well, when we take that projection off of our children,
and how, like, just stop.
Well, even I being able to identify that you have it.
Right.
Once you recognize that it's there, all right, it's like, you know, they used to do the commercials where they'd swirl the Vaseline on the lens, you know, as they would run to each, you know, the lovers would run to each other.
Right.
You know, so basically what we're doing is clearing the Vaseline off the lens. That's pretty much it. And once the Vaseline is off the lens, so goes the guilt. So goes the sensing that we are failures. Okay?
Yeah.
And that we have somehow failed, and not understanding why our child would reject us, or our child would punish us, or our child would guilt us. You know, even those are pretty basic families. But once we don't have that projection where we're trying to gain something other than, when we're dealing with just one person instead of a multitude, it's much easier. You know? When you recognize, because I remember when my daughter was little, I remember when I'd get upset with her, I'd call her Mom. It would just fall right out of my mouth. I mean, that's how clear it's been, really, all my, and I used to laugh about this, because she was so much like my mother. I never put all the pieces together.
And it's interesting, when you think about it on a cliched level, you know, like we're fish swimming in the water and we can't really read the water as well. And I, you know, they've often said, I've heard this most of my life, is every other generation, right? Every other generation
yes.
has a certain trait. And I'm like, oh, that's such a little formula, isn't it?
Well, it is. Yeah, that, it very well, but I heard this last night from someone as well. So, yes. And it's interesting because my granddaughter is like me.
Hmm.
Okay? My daughter is like my mother, my granddaughter is like me. And this is where I had this. It's fascinating to me, but it's also freeing. And it's freeing to your children, because when you take those projections off, they don't have to act out. They do not have to act out. Conversely, you may have anger at a parent, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And take that anger out on a child of the same sex. Without realizing that your anger is really at a parent, but you're taking it out on the child.
It's just really fascinating, because I'm just trying to flip back through the pages of my history when you say that. And I think sometimes is my anger, my mother's anger at me, I put on my child, for example, for being different. I'm not sure if that's true. Just
okay, well, I'll run that by me again.
Okay. I got a lot of flack as a child for being really different, which
of course you did. All right.
Okay, so, and there were times I did not know what to do with my daughter because she was, in brackets, really different. Right? So I think there was a kind of at one point I thought, you have an underlying anger, an underlying judgment with this kid. And the way you're talking now, I'm going, yeah, I think maybe I took that on, that a good child would be different than I am. You see what I mean? So somewhere deep down I was projecting onto her that she should be less different to be a good person.
Well, of course.
So fascinating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is the subtleties of all of this to me are so far-reaching.
Yeah, they're almost infinite in a way.
They are infinite, and they are incredibly freeing. Incredibly freeing. Because even in looking at my own son and thinking, huh. Okay, I won't be quite as, but he, you know, I won't be quite as easy with him. But, and it's not because it's an opposite sex thing. You know, we tend to think, well, you know, mother-daughter versus mother-son, yet there's some of that in there, the opposite sex is involved. However, I have always, all right, wanted, and I've always said this, my daughter wouldn't let me love her. I just wanted her to, you know, to allow me to love her and to love me back and so on and so forth. And, you know, to make things nice and easy, and it could always be good for like a day, you know, or an hour, or whatever the case might be. But it could never stabilize. It could never be consistent there. So unless, you know, there were different variables that she had to be the sole focus and everybody's attention had to be and so on and so forth. There are different dynamics in every family. But the core of that is that it's coming from us. When we remove the projection, does that allow them, the child, to become themselves?
I think it does.
Okay, exactly. All right. Now we're not asking them to play that role anymore because, again, I'm going to go back to DNA. We look at things from such a linear perspective that we don't see the layers of the way reality is constructed here.
Right.
Okay? So, and how complex all of our relationships are. Hugely complex. And the play in, you know, these waves that kind of shoot in from other lifetimes, you know, these kind of very subtle, you know, waves that come in that are having influence of some kind. Doesn't mean that it's absolutely drastic, but it's certainly there. So, we haven't even gotten to that piece. We're just, you know, that's what we're doing with the soul liftings and the power retrievals. But holy mackerel, just in our day-to-day interactions, and certainly we've seen this, you know, I've seen it so much with fathers and sons. You know, this inability to get over certain things, you know, where you'll see a father who just has a, you know, has a case of the whatever for their son. And their son can just do no right.
Right.
And you never really know why. I mean, you know, certainly, Veronica, you deal with this. I deal with this every single day. Everybody's history is right in the middle of our work all the time. Because that's our first session is we take their full history. That's the crux. The team wants that information. Here's the crux to the emotional work we're doing, and here's the familial dynamic, even though the questions we ask are very, very light, but they're really not because it begins that whole weaving. Mm-hmm. So, but when we lift that projection off, then we set that, and it was interesting because once I got all this, the next day I had a phone call and I finally got real solid with it. The next day I had a phone call, totally different attitude. And I thought, isn't this interesting? Isn't this interesting? And I was able to say to her, this is not the market to do this or this. I mean, because I really didn't care whether she reacted or not. And she said, well, so-and-so told me, and they're strong enough to get in my face when nobody else is strong enough to do it. And I thought, wow, she even gets herself.
She wants that.
And
Tell me this, Jackie, do the team have siblings and children?
Well, not the way we do. They don't have the same emotional construct that we have.
Okay.
And, you know, when you ask about the team, it's so diverse that, you know, do some of them have children? Yes. Are they the kind of way that we construct families? No. Because we don't have the emotional, you know, they don't have the emotional weaving that we have.
Right.
And, you know, this goes back to this whole, you know, concept of the prison that the squirrel talked about, because we really have been imprisoned with this familial chain of pain. It's really the glue that holds the collective together.
And we weren't peeking underneath the settings, the curtains and the walls and the, you know, we weren't peeking at the fabric of our reality too much.
No.
We are now. Mm-hmm.
We're certainly getting there. And, I'm personally incredibly excited about this because I see how, it also plays into our interpersonal relationships, because if we're not continuing that dynamic, if we can finally recognize it, then we can also lift it off of and out of our partnership dynamics, okay? We can begin to see that more clearly than we ever have.
Well, that sure makes sense. Well, have we got time to talk to the team?
Yes, of course. Let me bring them in. I don't know that we've got a little bit of time. My clock is always wrong, so. Do you have a clock going there?
I do.
Okay, good.
We have probably, I would say, not 20 minutes, maybe 15 minutes.
Okay. All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What an exciting subject. And congratulations. Now you are beginning to, as you said, Veronica, lift the fabric. Look between now. The illusions that have made it all look real, that they have held you prisoner. And everyone else in your family structures as well. When you really get this, the manipulation, the triggers, you know, having come out of the holidays, certainly all of you have been with people, the family members, you know, the triggered, as they do every holiday season, all of your old programs of not being enough, not being loved enough, not being good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, handsome enough, rich enough, recognizing now that the projections that you've had to deal with, the needs of your parents for you to excel, to be what they could not be, the angers and needs of parents still playing out, unsettled business.
And the goals, the hidden goals that people have so undiscovered.
Absolutely. And the frustration that all of you went through growing up. Confusion in households. I don't understand what my parents want. What do they want from me? I thought if I got good grades, they'd love me. But they may have, you see, an issue about kids that good grades, you see. The channel was in a foster home, and her foster parents thought that anybody that got really good grades was an elitist, a white buck is what they called them. And they frowned on it.
Oh, my.
All right. Made fun of her. So you see, these dynamics, again, her situation different, growing up at different homes, but you see, these are the dynamics as complex, and the complexities are beyond your imagination, that have gone on in every household, for all of you. The subtleties that begin in utero and infancy. The daddy that brings home the little baby football for his new son. Already projecting onto this child, the star athlete. When you may in fact have a gay young man and a current movie on your television coming up. About a young man who was gay and the mother couldn't accept it, and he killed himself.
I saw some of that movie about Bobby.
Yes, that's the one.
Very touching.
So you see, this is one of the biggest unfoldments in your human fabric, in the human psychic self. And when all of you can remove these projections onto your children, you will set them free. You will set them free. Well, the question might be, how? How do I set them free by not projecting? Because that contract now pulls out, disappears. Well, you're going to have to work at this. It's not going to be an overnight thing. We would never tell you that it would be. But think about some of the freedom that you could experience. And as parents, the guilt that many of you carry, we don't know a parent that doesn't have guilt.
Mm-hmm.
That comes with the territory, doesn't it, Veronica?
It seems to, yes. I
all
haven't
right.
met anybody, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're able to, as you were talking earlier, step outside of the set, get out of the fishbowl, and be able to look in from this perspective, you see, you'll be able to look at the dynamics so much differently. So much differently, looking down at grandparents, key people that were in your lives. How did that dynamic work with mom and dad, and what happened there? Some of you don't have access to that information and didn't know them.
But it's funny, you can see the designs in lineage when people are trying to please people, and sometimes you please people by keeping yourself small or straight and narrow or
exactly.
playing football, and it's all like little walls, isn't it? Little...
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. Instead of stepping into your personal mastery. And you can't get to mastery if you're trying to satisfy and fill in all of these other things. Can't do it. Especially when you were talking earlier about not being different. Well, you can't be a master if you don't want to be different.
Exactly. But that was so unconscious on my part, you know, which is, I think,
the problem. Of course it was. Of course it was. Most of you out there listening have had these issues. Growing up, you all were different. Many of you rejected by mom and dad. Many of you coming in knowing that you were smarter or stronger than the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
Many of you feeling unequivocally that you didn't belong, either on earth or to the family that you were in. I'm trying to figure out just how to survive what you perceived as total insanity. But now you see with some of these dynamics, these projections, beginning to understand, especially those of you who chose families, who had very deep roots in this. Also, from an ethnic standpoint, you know, Jewish families, Italian families, or we could go on and on, it's not limited to just one nationality, but where the lineage is very strong, then you have roles that are pretty much cast in stone. We've worked with people that were of many different lineages and in different countries, and we see this very much so breaking outside of that, almost impossible because of the demands, the expectations that are put on these people that have been done for generations, and you just don't break out of that.
Tell me this, as we break out of to get it into mastery, it must shake apart our entire connection with lineage anyway. I don't quite remember what I was going to say, but it's like that becomes a different reality, and we no longer have to attach to it, but even our children don't?
Well, once you step out, doesn't everyone else, isn't everyone else affected?
Right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
If you were to draw this out, even if you draw out a family tree and you take them out of there, doesn't the tree get all askew?
Yeah.
All right? Yes, of course. Absolutely.
So everyone changes.
Everyone changes, and everyone can change if they choose. If they choose. You see, once you are able to let go of you, the need for your family of origin to love you and to accept you, and you accept your role as a master, that your role as a master is far more important than worried about, you know, family of origin. Now, again, we're going to have some people that may disagree with any of this, but we will tell you that it's the truth. One of the problems about coming to Earth is getting locked into all of these dynamics. You see, you call it karma.
The squirrel calls it jail.
Yes, well, yes. But you see how complex it is to try to find your freedom, your way out of the entrenchment. Not an easy thing to do. Because you have all of these emotions and all of these projections and all of these histories playing out within every family dynamic. Going way back, see. And then if you take a lineage and a nationality and you throw in there all of that history as well, especially if it's very solid, as it would be, let's say, with Jewish people, it can be very difficult to extricate yourself. Very difficult.
In the case of, for example, Jackie's granddaughter, it does sort of help along to talk about it with her, doesn't it?
To explain to her what's going on?
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Or that the lineage, we can step out of the lineage.
Absolutely, and the reason is because they are wired differently.
Mm-hmm.
They're not wired as tightly as all of you, so your younger people, when they understand it, all right,
mm-hmm.
It is easier for them to pull up and out. It doesn't mean they won't need guidance to do so. But they're terrified, especially today, to end up like mom or dad.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to, you see. And they don't want to be caught up in the competitions and the resentments and all of the things that go on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're more honest about what they see, about the issues and the problems. And in many cases, these younger people are actually playing the roles of parents to their parents. Even with all their damage. Even with all their damage.
Isn't that interesting, eh?
It is very interesting, and it is also very true.
But they're here to make a huge change, aren't they?
They are, and that's why the peace is so important for all of you to be able to unplug, to allow them to make the quantum leap that they need to make. Unplug.
Well, that's wonderful, and we only have a couple of minutes, so...
All right, dear one, now you have a radio show you want to talk about?
Yes, I'm going to have Randy Masters on at 5 o'clock next Tuesday on Paradigm Shifters. He's been on twice before, but he's quite a little teacher of sound healing and big changes we can create with that. So that's Tuesday at 5 o'clock on BBS. And 4 o'clock is my own show. It's a call-in show, meditations and changing your energy.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, we would like to talk with all of you tonight about... We're going to ask you all to call us in. Again, working with subconscious, ask, please. Please assist me in identifying, transmuting, and changing subconscious and unconscious beliefs. Again, this is a piece of this, people. Subconscious and unconscious beliefs that are running your lives. And this is why we've been working with this for so long. Because this is the crux, the core, built into the familial chain of pain as well. We're eager to get through so much of this so that we can then begin co-creating with you. You know, the expression is to identify, transmit, and change subconscious and unconscious beliefs that stand in the way of you creating the life of your dreams. and you can't create the life of your dreams when you're in prison. So that's our goal for you. Freedom.
That's a wonderful goal.
And we thank Squirrel so much for the beautiful letter that she wrote. Squirrel, thank you for responding to our request. You are extraordinary. The world is waiting for you. Now, how much time do we have, Veronica?
I think we've got, I know we can go over a minute, so I'd say we can, do a minute now. That'd be
well,
good.
We don't want to go over from the people behind us because they do get upset. All right. And the channel.
We're sorry about that.
Yes. All right, everyone. We would like at this moment to surround you all in our love and our light. You are welcome to accept it or to reject it. We never force this on anyone. The energies can come right through your computer into your home and enfold you. And allow us, if you will, to imprint into you some of this information that was discussed tonight. Very important. Very important. We recommend to all of you that you spend some time writing about this, looking at your own families, seeing where it may be playing out. We love you all. Veronica, we love you as well.
And we love you, and I'm so grateful for all your uplifting expansion.
Oh, thank you. We send to you all our total, complete, unconditional love. And until next week, dear ones, namaste.
Namaste.